Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to this extraordinary review of the last year in our podcast history as we forge forward.
In the second week in January.
Yeah, of course, obviously. And we're bringing with us the energy of Vader's Imperial March theme in a major key. Listen to this, just... Oh, it's so festive. It's so fun.
It's
we're
quite
back.
Aspirational, isn't it? In that
everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's the power of the major key. Anyway, enough of that. Welcome to this podcast. Hey, it's our podcast day. We can do it in 2024 if we want. We can do whatever we want. And the audience, because they are just wrapped to our...
Just to be clear, recording and releasing.
Here we are. Absolutely, yeah. So... What we're going to do with this, we're just going to have a bit of a review of the episodes that we've done. 50-odd episodes over the course of the year. I think about 40 movies. We've got all the Ramblecasts in there. And I think we have done a quite fun selection of movies. We were looking through the list and going, let's try and get the best, the worst, the biggest surprise, the biggest disappointment. And there's not that many bad movies, I don't think, in this collection this year compared to previous years. Anyway,
yeah, the first year, I feel like year one we did a lot of really bad movies.
It was COVID times. We were in the depths. Yes, yeah. So let's jump straight in, and I want to start with what do you want to start with, Dave? Best movie, worst movie? What's the energy we want to bring in?
Oh, let's
we
get
want
some
to go down
some vitriol out. I want the worst Good. Movie. What's the worst movie we did? And you can define this in any way you like. This is what I love about our completely subjective review episodes. This isn't like, you know, what's the best movie we did? This is the, which movie did you like the most? Or in this case, which did you despise the most? I expect we'll have different answers on this.
Yeah, let's see. So do you want to go first? I'll go first.
No,
I'm going to lead in. Yeah, I'm going to go first. I'm going to take host prerogative there. I'm going to say the worst movie that we watched in 2023, and you know, mostly it's about the movie that pissed me off the most. It's about the movie that just really got under my skin in a way that I don't think that any other movie quite did. There's a lot, you know, some I was thinking maybe this, maybe that, but it's got to be Tom Cruise. It's the 80s, it's fucking Cocktail. This goddamn movie pissed me off so much. I wrote and shot and edited an entire fucking video about it, which you can go look at on our Imaginary Movie podcast YouTube channel, because it got inside my head in a way that I don't think any movie maybe has since, actually. Just how
it's I also had this movie,
was,
but not as the worst film. I had this as my biggest disappointment, and we'll talk about the movie as a whole in a second, but I had it there because it's kind of like the iconic 80s Tom Cruise movie that I hadn't seen. Mm. And so I expected it to be good, or at least... I mean, it was iconic. But I think it was just the depths that this movie sunk to absolutely flabbergasted me.
Yeah.
That this movie...
So this was in 1988... This is after Top Gun. It's after The Color of Money, another previous episode there, and in the same year as Rain Man. So, like, you're surrounded by some pretty titanic movies, movies that are going to, like, continue to be iconic and cruise movies. And yet you've got this weird, nasty, mean-spirited movie about how these two bartenders turn into rampant misogynists, or maybe they were the
entire
time.
Turn into out themselves as do you know what it is? It's a deeply mean movie, which is sometimes fine, but not for, I suppose you would term this as a romantic comedy. Like, a comedy definitely is kind of what it's billed as, and it's just upsetting. It's distressing, it's upsetting. Not one of the characters is likable. Not one of the characters is making human decisions. The tone is all over the place. I see what you mean by got under your skin. It was a great episode. I really enjoyed the episode on it. Which is kind of one of those things about doing a podcast about a film is actually the worse the film, usually the better the conversation about the film.
Good movies are hard to do, oddly, aren't they? Because you're like, this is great. Yes, it is. We're agreeing vehemently, which is not good radio, it turns out. So, yeah.
No, but I think it's... So I definitely agree we should put Cocktail in the bin. It's definitely top of my... I would actively advise people not to watch that film.
Yeah. Well, but let's cover your disappointment one in this, as we're talking about the same movie anyway. Why was this your most disappointing movie and not your worst movie? What's the distinction there?
This is difficult to explain. I'm obviously a freak, right? That should be...
Do you have a podcast on the internet? Yes, we understand. We're all with you. Yep.
I wasn't bored watching it. I think it's a heinous film. I think there's a lot of things wrong with it. However, in the context of watching it to talk about it, it's kind of riveting in every single... Imagine you come to the fork in the road, and every single time they did that, they went with the stupidest, more worse decision.
They went down stupid
like, consistently.
Avenue.
Yeah. Consistently, every single time there was a decision to make in the movie, they did the most stupid, weirdest, most upsetting thing they could do. And it's kind of like watching a car crash. You just can't look away.
Oh, God, the humanity. That's where we're
at.
Yeah.
So while it was absolutely not what I expected at all, and it wasn't good, and the message is deeply problematic... and the behavior of Tom Cruise is deeply, deeply shady. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to look at.
But
there's
a big gulf
between that and recommending a movie, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Certainly not bored. Certainly not bored. Too aghast to be bored, I think, watching this. I'm going to just leave us on Cocktail then with a suggestion that you go to just Google imaginary movie podcast on YouTube, and
we could put Cocktail, the link to the video in the show notes.
I could, but what I'm more important, because I want organic searches for this, because it is I think second highest viewed video on that channel, and the first one, I shit you not, with something like 14,000 views, is all of the Star Trek themes played together at the same time, which I did a couple of years ago for just because it made me laugh, and now it's our most popular piece of content by a factor of about 1,000. So that's disappointing. I feel disappointed with all the critical analysis that's going on, and that's the fucking best we've got.
Give the people what they want, I guess, which is original content made in minutes.
Seconds. So what's your worst movie then?
Do you want to guess?
I think probably it's going to be... I thought maybe Temple of Doom. Just I know it's a like it's not, but it's just it's so shit.
It's such an easy target. No, the worst film we did this year was Unbroken.
Unbroken,
which is an incredibly
what film
dreary,
you say, listener,
completely devoid of plot. World War II biopic about a caveat here. Pretty interesting dude. I'd be interested to read his memoir, or more accurately, spend 10 minutes reading his Wikipedia page. I don't want to watch a 14-hour movie with three male characters I really, like, struggled throughout most of the movie to separate, with a weird, boring Olympic athlete, like, backstory we kept flashing back to, which I couldn't really tie to the adult character, because, again... There's these three guys on the raft, and one of them's Domhnall Gleeson, and the other two are the same character?
Other square-jawed, black-haired, American 1940s looking. So if you don't know, and you probably don't, because this film is not really that interesting, it's 2014, directed by Angelina Jolie, written by the Coen brothers. And that's kind of where it stops. It's based on Louis Zamperini, who was like captured in Japan and tortured and all the other stuff that, you know, happened in prisoner of war camps. And it's one of those movies that just, it kind of meanders, and we don't really get, we just get, it's very long, and we get lots of these pensive scenes of people staring at each other, and like
it's a biopic, just... but there's no character. The characters aren't well written. It's a biopic where for about 60% of the movie, I don't know who the main character is. It's a biopic about a guy, and I couldn't pick him out of a fucking lineup. That is a failure of a movie. It looks very good. I'll give it that. The production's very good, and it looks very good. Unfortunately, they kind of forgot to write anything that's going to keep a viewer conscious. Biggest sin of a movie. It's a World War II movie about a prisoner of war, and it's not interesting. How is it not interesting?
It's also got fucking planes in it because Zamperini was a navigator or something on a long distance bomber. Like, this is up my street to fuck. And at the start of this movie, I remember thinking, wow, this is going to be great. And then they get shot out of the sky, they get eaten by sharks, and there the movie kind of dies in these POW camps. And yes, and this horrible flashbacks.
What goes to my... It's the biggest sin of a movie, and it's something we say on the podcast all the time, actually. Like, you can be weird and you can be zany and it can be a bad movie, but don't be boring.
Don't be boring.
Because if I'm bored, the information just is not going in.
It's the number one rule. I don't think there is a more important rule, which is, you know, get the interesting stuff that you want to tell us on the screen at all times. And if you don't have anything interesting... And if your film becomes boring, then that's terminal, isn't it? Because I'm not going to stick around for that. Okay.
Exactly. What are we doing next?
I think that's a very fair fair take. So we're going to go next to best movie.
Yeah, I'll start if you want.
Yeah. Now, here we go.
This won't surprise you. But the best movie we did this year.
Look at this.
Was The Long Good Friday. The Bob Hoskins
musical accompaniment. That's my thing.
Gangster movie. Is that too loud?
Just turn it down. Just a touch. There we go. There we go.
There's quiet underneath this. I mean, the music alone. This music haunts me. I was reading through our movies that we did this year, and I saw The Long Good Friday, and this theme started playing in my head.
And this final scene with Bob Hoskins.
The fucking testicles on this director ending this movie with a 2-minute just single shot of Bob Hoskins'
let's describe what happens
as a car drives away.
He gets in. So the movie's about kind of like the IRA and this London gangster played by Bob Hoskins, who is kind of like involved. He just gets drawn in. He thinks it's all about money, and actually it's about politics, which is what, you know, the IRA. So anyway, at the end of the movie, he gets in a car, and there's the guys there, and they've got a gun on him, and they're saying, "How you doing, son? You sit down. You're coming for a ride." Where we don't know what's going to happen. And
he's going to be killed. This is spoilers. This is the end of The Sopranos. We know, and we don't know. This is like, we know. They're driving him to location A, where he's going to get shot in the fucking head.
But it's the reaction. It's the way that it's done. It's not a shot of the car driving off into the distance. It's his face. And the trivia is that the director was sat in the front seat telling him what he was feeling. And you just get this wonderful journey of Hoskins doing some incredible face acting while this great music plays throughout. And I so nearly picked this, Dave.
It's a movie that holds up as well, and it's criminally unknown. And it's Bob Hoskins is a fantastic actor. Helen Mirren in this movie plays his girlfriend. And a cast of the ugliest men you can possibly imagine round it out. It's just perfect. It's so emblematic of its that sort of early 80s
British sort of movies
holdover. It's got a guy, it's got a real feel like Guy Ritchie definitely saw this movie and it inspired his career.
Yes, and all of those, you know, like Lock, Stock type of movies are came from films like this
but more
and
cartoonish.
Like the Sweeney and yeah, like it's just great.
Yeah,
it's great.
But it's just phenomenal, and it's atmospheric, and it's a real genre movie. And again, we were robbed of Bob Hoskins too early, and he didn't do enough movies like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So my favorite movie then, and this makes us sound like such fucking white guys with a podcast, is unbelievable. And it maybe just reflects some of the movies we've done over the last 12 months. But I've gone in a slightly different direction in that it's definitely not the best made movie. It's not the best cast. It's not the best score. There's nothing here that I think you would say is the peak of cinema experience. But Enemy at the Gates, Jude Law sniping the shit out of Nazis in Stalingrad. Like, there's this movie has a hold on me in a similar type of way to you, Dave, in that I just think about this film a lot. It's just one of those movies that I watched when I was younger. It's inside my brain, living rent free, and I struggle to like to be really objective, which is I think what I said in the episode as well, is like, this movie can do what the fuck it likes. I don't care. I'm here for it. I'm here for every part of this. The overly dramatic score, the way that it's shot like some 1960s spy movie, and the, you know, Ed Harris going around snipe. I just love this movie. I just continue to love it, and I think it's going to be one of those films I always come back to at least once a year, you know, for my kind of World War II fix.
It's good. It's a very good movie, and it's a good sniper movie, like a genre which I think has become more and more popular. But the tension throughout this movie is really well paced. I think I would say I do love this movie, but outside of the sniper battles, it's not a very good movie. But this is that thing about it being a really subjective, like, what's the best movie we did last year, is that's a totally valid answer, Sam. Mine was the correct answer, but yours is a totally valid answer.
thank you.
Even though...
Thanks. That's
Even
I
though
think
I, would,
that's a good
I will
thing.
I would say, like, as much as I love that movie, it's definitely got cracks around the edges.
Oh, it's
that is Bob Hoskins got... It's Bob Hoskins.
Nikita Khrushchev.
Yeah.
yeah.
What a connection.
Love it. And then you've got Joseph Fiennes as well. And, of course, and the thing that I think basically negates everything you're saying is that we've got Rachel Weisz in this movie, who...
In her grubby urchin wear. Yeah, that admittedly, Sam, that's it's a big bing, bing, bing in its favour.
It's exactly down the street of what we're looking for. Is it? So I love this film, and I think it's definitely one that's, like, if you haven't seen and you're into sniping or World War II, welcome. We are your people, and we will try to be less of
exactly
you, because that's a bit scary.
And it's a real shame. It's Jude Law, isn't it? I'm not making things up in my head.
Jude Law, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And here's just an interesting Jude Law little like snippet of a conversation. I think Jude Law is too attractive, because I think if he was a bit more like Benedict Cumberbatchy, like in his looks, I think we get a lot more interesting roles, because when he gets to act, like in a movie with pathos, he's really, really good. But then so yeah. many of his movies aren't that, because he's so startlingly handsome.
Yeah, I kind of know what you're saying. I do think he kind of has like his earlier stuff is maybe where we get a bit more like Gattaca. He's in
Gattaca.
Yeah, he's in Talent, Mr. Ripley, which is quite good. I think Enemy of the Gates counts as that. He does go into the kind of more rom-com-y
chasing the
stuff,
money,
doesn't
I guess.
He? But then The Holiday's quite good. Have you ever seen that? That's quite a fun romantic comedy.
Once, maybe.
With Jack Black and Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet, I think. Like,
yes.
It's just really, yeah. Like I think he knows what he's doing, doesn't he, I guess?
Well, he's rich and attractive and successful and famous, so I guess one more we know.
So he's got us on all three counts there.
So, go on.
Final selection. The biggest disappointment. This is an interesting one, isn't it?
Is this the final selection? We've got two more.
Sorry, I forgot an entire one. Let's go biggest disappointment. Let's end on a positive. I'm going to start on the biggest disappointment by again, saying this is like a very personal choice. This is about like how do you even talk about disappointment? And I think what I'm having to go with is the concept of remembering a film and then watching it. And because a lot of these movies we've either seen before or we've heard of, and so like the reputation is hard to get away from, but you can't get away from your deep-seated memories. And so the film that really just like kind of took the wind out of my sails was The Mighty Ducks. Because I remember this movie being like great. This is a proper 1990. It's not, Dave. It's not. It's an absolute mess of
Sam,
writing.
You're attacking
and
the very foundation of my personality here.
I understand, and I think the difference though, this wasn't quite like the totally formative movie that maybe it was for you. This is one that we'd had on VHS, but we didn't watch over and over and over again, like Muppets Treasure Island, for example. Which, if you talk badly against that movie, I will have a nervous breakdown on air right now. But for you, it was maybe more like central to your personality as a child. As all like stuff.
I just
on
think
VHS
so. When you're a kid, you form a mental attachment. You form a parasocial relationship with certain characters in certain movies.
With Emilio Estevez.
No, hit me out here, right? And there was something about The Mighty Ducks, which is a film at its core, if you ignore all the problematic like grown-up stuff, which doesn't really register when you're a kid. It's a film about a poor kid with a single, without a dad, and it's about a father figure coming in and them winning a sporting event. And when I was a kid, that was like, all of that's unimaginable. Oh my God, this kid's so lucky. He gets to succeed at a sport, he has loads of friends, and he now has a dad. And it's like, wow. And obviously that's just, as a kid, that's not, you know, it's just, it's hockey and it's cool. But as an adult, I can look at it in the cold light of podcasting and say, that's why I love this movie and it's very dear to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I won't say anything else against it other than the fact that I just think, like, it's a purely unsatisfying movie because I think Emilio Estevez, and probably just the way the character's written rather than the performance, is just doing some crazy shit. He is
asleep, like, as well for a lot of this movie.
He completely is. He's a lawyer who has to come and work, like, basically do community service because he works too hard, and so his boss.
If anyone wants to watch this plot but doesn't want to spend 90 minutes, there's a South Park episode that basically does this, and that's 20 minutes. You're in and you're out.
Yeah, save yourself some bother. But
so we already stole my biggest disappointment because I said Cocktail. However, I had a runner up, which I want to talk about just briefly, which was The Last Duel. Which was a movie I recommended that we watched.
I can't believe
you won't even remember us doing because it was
no,
so
I do.
Dull. Please don't attack me for making you watch a movie, Sam.
No, what we I'm stopped, attacking you this. For, I'm attacking you for making me think about it again. I will accept the fact we had to watch it once, but don't make me think about this dire fucking movie again. 2021,
the promise
historical action drama. Ridley Scott.
By Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The promise of that movie was really cool. The promise of that was like, oh, this will be cool. And then actually it's just a really dark, boring, very, very boring, actually quite confusing because of all the time jumps, movie about rape, which is just tough, especially when
mostly
you're not expecting
from...
that. I think the marketing for this movie was really off.
Yeah, and mostly from the male characters because there's like three sequences from what I remember, isn't there? Like three. This is
Matt Damon and Adam Driver and the great Jodie Comer. Yeah. And this is the other thing. It's Ridley Scott. The cast is really good. Again, it looks really good, but it's just kind of like a.
I'm going to hold you there though because the cast is fine. Adam Driver's fine. Jodie Comer's good. Matt Damon's
good, but not in this.
He's horribly cast in this. It's horribly cast. And that, I think, is one of the biggest parts of this movie. Him trudging
around.
Well, that's
what I'm saying about the disappointment. Well, that's why it was a disappointment. Was because on paper, Matt Damon is a good actor. Jodie Comer's a great actor. And Adam Driver is a good actor. And Ridley Scott's a great director. I think my ethos when we did the podcast was, can we get these octogenarian fucking white guys out of Hollywood, please? Let's put them out to pasture where they can tell each other about all their amazing films and just
Ridley
stop.
Scott says, I'm gonna shoot cannons at the pyramids and say no to you.
Yeah.
David Muir.
Anyway, biggest.
Yeah, I think that's a fair. I think that's a really.
I'm a white guy,
fair...
and it was a Ridley Scott movie about medieval France, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that sounds really cool." And I'm like, "Oh, am I not as much of a basic white guy as I thought I was? Because this didn't really do it for me."
Yeah. I think that's. I think that's. That is a. It's again. It's hard to be hurt, isn't it? It's hard to be hurt by films when you go in expecting one thing. So. Right, well, let's end on a positive and let's get the hell out of here and carry on with 2024. Let's talk about our biggest surprise, and I'm going to let you go first. How gracious of me.
My biggest surprise, and I kind of went back and forth because there were in our best All the Best Pictures series we've been doing, which is secretly the entire reason I started the podcast was to make Sam watch films from 1920.
And it's working.
And it's
Jesus,
working.
It's working.
And there were a lot of things within this. I mean, All Quiet on the Western Front. Like, there's a real argument for best film we did last year. Really,
100%.
Broadway musical. Real argument for the worst movie we did last year. Cimarron. Also, real argument for the worst movie we did last year. There's some stiff competition. But the biggest surprise, actually, for me, was Wings, which is the first movie we did.
Wings.
Which is a silent movie from the 20s. And it was surprising because I think when we think about old movies, we think about, like, oh, they've got a clever, like, they've slung some ropes around a camera and they've got this really innovative shot because it's 4 inches higher than it would have been. Or, like, the way that we cut film together. And what I wasn't ready for was... a silent movie with a relatively boring, inconsequential plot, but with some of the best aerial action scenes I've ever seen on film, because they just fucking bolted a camera to
a big 1930s camera as well, and then
to a 1915 plane.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna just pause there for a second and say this was also my biggest surprise of the year. So we have synced up
for the same reasons, twice, presumably. Like,
exactly, because
this
because
movie
I think
was a delight.
It's a light romp through World War One, and there's romance, and there's fun, and there's a love triangle. But I don't think you can really get past just how arresting it is to see. The spectacle, to see like the Aviator Scorsese movie visuals in a film that came out in the 1930s. And that, I think, is just like when you watch movies from the past, it's easy to forget that the stuff that was on screen that we're now used to was new back then. You know, Citizen Kane, why does everyone make such a fuss of that? It's because they did some crazy stuff that no one had ever done before. But with Wings, you don't
some crazy
forget.
Stuff that no one's ever done since because it's insanely dangerous.
Because it's illegal, but you don't forget. You watch it and you can appreciate what they were doing, without even though we've surpassed.
It's not even like there's so many reasons they never did this again, Sam. Because number one, it would have been so easy for one of these like lead actors to be killed, flying these planes.
I think a stunt person died, didn't they?
Yeah. Especially there's a plane crash that looks absolutely astoundingly good, like terrifying, that is just a plane crashing. I don't know how they rigged it so that someone wasn't killed there. But the other thing is that these cameras, like, you know, represent the you know, millions in today's money, like for a camera that you're strapping to a plane that if you lose the plane and the actor's killed, you've also lost your camera, which is... you know, probably not that easy or financially good to replace either.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's a phenomenal piece of work, and I'm kind of glad we did the Best Pictures thing and started there, because otherwise the sell to watch this movie, because it's probably not even one of the best silent movies. It just happens to be a really amazing plane movie.
Yeah, although I think I do remember being slightly critical of it in that, you know, it, from the actual story point of view, we don't get very much going
it's
on.
It's pointless.
But, I think it also represents our, like, dive into movies from the past and all the best pictures, you know, which is not going to win us any podcast awards for innovation, but fuck it, we're exploring along with you, the listener, we're exploring these great old movies, and that is, that in itself is like going back and seeing that actually even 100 years ago nearly they were making movies that hold up, and it's, I love that experience. I love that experience of seeing films from the past and them still making sense. Even Broadway Melody, which is another one of the best picture winners, like you could connect with the characters, and these people are long dead. And that's amazing. Like, that's why film is so awesome, is because you can see the wrinkles on people's faces and you can see their expressions and their feelings, and fucking planes flying around like absolute mad people because it's the past and there's no unions yet. You know, fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, we have now, I think we've completed all of our assignment that we'd had, so
yeah, I think that was everything. We did some good movies last year. If you're a diehard listener, obviously you listen to some of them, but give it a dive back. We've talked about
the bad ones. Substantial...
the only other bad one was really close, and we don't need to talk about it, but what was really, really close to being the worst movie was actually John Carter. But again, Jesus, go back and listen to that episode because it's a doozy.
Previous episode, we've got 270 plus episodes now. We are going to be hitting 300 this year. I would like to do the film sack thing where on episode 300 they did the movie 300. I'm gonna just complete let's rip that off and talk about Zack Snyder and
we're already quite basic white men, so let's just be as basic white men as we can be.
Absolutely.
And let's do the most basic white guy movie, which is obviously a Zack Snyder movie, and 300 is definitely like,
oh, yeah, man.
Scottish blokes running around Greece or running around a soundstage in Los Angeles pretending it's Greece.
Listen, we can do what we want. It's our podcast and we will continue. We will not be stopped. You cannot stop us, listener. And so I think in that spirit of defiance, we can let Darth Vader's Imperial March in a happy major key send us out as we
continue. Can I just say, I think you should do more of this.
What?
Like weird alternate music.
Listen to it.
It sounds like World War II propaganda music. Join the army!
It's, look at that. It's just so fun. It makes me laugh every single time. So there we go. Thanks for listening, and you know, get in touch. Imaginary Movie Podcast at gmail.com. Tell us about our terrible choices, and we hope you've enjoyed the output. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.